Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker, earn $14.50 plus up to $425 in weekly bonuses depending on shift. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Exmark makes the mowers that care for the lawns that set the stage for the backyard life. As the commercial mowers more landscape pros trust, Exmark mowers get you on and off the lawn without compromising cut quality, comfort, or reliability. Exmark, official mowers of the backyard life, starting at $29.99. Learn about the available finance offers and check them out today at The Mower Shop, 7400 Preston Highway, Louisville, Kentucky, 502-969-6433.
CarMax is hiring experienced auto technicians for many of its 200-plus stores nationwide. If you're looking for a job where you can make a great living while working on the cars that you love, then CarMax is the place for you. Join CarMax to grow your technical expertise and work with state-of-the-art tools and technology. Work with the cars you love. Join CarMax. Apply today at CarMaxAutoTech.com.
You're locked on Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Dan and Mike.
And welcome back to Sports Talk with Mike Pratt and Dan Issel, brought to you by Stockton Mortgage.
Before we have our next guest, Big Jim Andrews, I've got to say, I was going back and forth between the baseball game, your Cubbies,
right,
in New York, and in the basketball games. You better hope DeGrom doesn't pitch against your boys. his ERA is just amazing.
I think it's like a half a run or something. The amazing part is he's lost two or three games. How do you lose? You're not giving up a run a game. How do you lose anything? But I know he's not pitching tonight. So
is this the last game of the?
No, we've got another one tomorrow night.
Well, my boys are trying to help.
Four game series.
Four games.
Yeah.
Well, then we will see DeGrom.
Yeah, the DeGrom pitch is tomorrow, I think.
Ah, ooh.
Yeah, I know it's not good. I'm worried about, because I have my bet with Nick.
Oh,
Nick,
oh,
on the Cubs Mets season series.
Yeah.
The Cubs won the first three. I was feeling good, but now I think you look at the pitching matchups the Mets got. I think Taijuan Walker was an ERA of 2. Then DeGrom, who's the best pitcher on the planet. And then Marcus Stroman, who's has like a 2-3 ERA. And the Cubs are rolling out Alec Mills, who hasn't pitched since early May. Hendricks, who's hit and miss. And then they're doing a bullpen day on Thursday.
Uh-oh.
So, is this the end of the series?
Yeah, this is the end of the season. All they have to do is win one game.
One game out of four.
And I don't think they're going to do it.
I don't know.
They'll win one.
Yeah. I hope.
They'll win one.
Well, as Dan just said, DeGrom's ERA is like 0.56 now, but he's losing games.
Yep, because the Mets don't ever give him run support.
Well, that's what you want then, right?
I know. We want him to face DeGrom. DeGrom, they said this yesterday, DeGrom has more RBIs than he has runs given up this year.
Isn't that amazing? I saw that too. But, you know, he comes out every once in a while with a little tightness here and a little tightness there.
Yeah, and he never pitches deep into ball games.
No. We'll see. Yeah.
I had a conversation yesterday. I had a buddy who's trying to tell me he's the greatest pitcher ever.
Ever?
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 I don't know about that. Yeah, that would be hard. That. The ball is different.
Yeah.
The bat, everything is different. You can't compare. I mean, Sandy Koufax is pretty damn good. Yeah. Bob Gibson,
I think, would be my choice.
They had to lower the mound because of Bob Gibson.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you had Don Drysdale. He was just like Gibson as far as power pitcher.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they're really some really good pitchers. And I'm sure you could go on and on.
Whitey Ford, Warren Spahn.
Yeah, now they never intimidated anybody with their fastball, those two guys, but they had all the tricks, man.
Yeah, exactly. The argument he gave me was that no one could throw with the velocity of DeGrom and have the command that he has.
Well, nobody. I mean, nobody.
That was his
in
argument.
The past, threw that hard.
I think his biggest knock is the fact that he's, throughout his entire career, he's only had four complete games. And I get it that a lot of it's the product of how the game's played today, but at some point, I mean, Nolan Ryan has, what, the 9 no-hitters?
What about Nolan
Ryan?
There's a pretty good pitcher.
Yeah, Koufax, multiple no-hitters. I mean, DeGrom just doesn't have those because he never pitches a full game.
Well, nobody does anymore. Yeah. Or I mean, if you got 10 pitchers, probably 9 have never seen a full game. Maybe 1 has seen a full game. Yeah. Maybe.
It's just a different game today.
So, Crean, there you go. We're pulling for you, brother.
Yep.
We need one.
Yep.
Wouldn't it be ironic if you won the game DeGrom pitches?
That would be perfect, actually. That would just be so – that would be hilarious.
Well, I sent you Jim Andrews' number.
Yeah,
you
I'm about to call him.
Reach out to him. And, Dan, we've got a text here. Mr. Issel, Mr. Pratt. Well, what if ads put in 18 newspapers, including Lost Wages, Mexico City – Lost Wages being lost.
I understand.
Okay.
I'm with you.
And the Queenstown seeking interest in ABA franchises, inquiries to Louisville headquarters, what would the NBA do? That means I think he's saying, would you guys recruit people if you can't get into the NBA to start a new ABA?
Yeah. I think, I mean, it worked out pretty well the first time it went around. And like we've said before, there are so many. When the ABA was in existence, there was NBC, ABC, and CBS. Now there are 107 sports channels out there that are looking for content. So, if they did start a new league, absolutely, I think Louisville should look at it.
And we're going to welcome in on the Kim Crawford Wine Celebrity Hotline. We're going to have Jim Andrews, the big fella from Lima, Ohio. How you doing, Jim?
I'm doing great, Mike. How are you?
Good, good. I'm talking to a guy that could shoot it and score it. I'm sitting across from a guy who could shoot it and score it. But as I review your stats, neither one of you were Bob Cousy.
Are you trying to say we didn't pass the ball?
No, that's not what I said.
Jim, that's exactly what he's saying.
I know, Dan. I agree.
Yeah. He's got a burr under his saddle because Coach Rupp wouldn't let him shoot. All he could do was pass.
Oh, you guys are hurting me this morning. It's only Tuesday, Jim. Only Tuesday. So what have you been up to, man?
You get to do this every day, right?
Yeah. I got a chance to give Issel grief every day about his passing. What have you been up to? You're retired now. Fill our listeners in.
I'm like a lot of people my age. I'll be 70 this year, and I'm retired and enjoying playing golf 2 or 3 days a week, enjoying my grandchildren, and just all in all, just enjoying all the things that I've worked hard for all my whole life.
Jim, let's go back to your Kentucky career. As Mike said, you were from Lima, Ohio. How'd you get to UK, and what other schools were you looking at?
Oh, my goodness. When I was I began to play basketball, I was living in West Virginia, and then I went from Lima, Ohio to West Virginia, then to Michigan, back to Lima. And so I had been considering, schools like Michigan State or Western Michigan, and had looked at Indiana. And then when I moved back to Ohio for my senior year in high school, of course, Ohio State and some other schools came into play, as well as Kentucky. And in fact, probably this is blasphemy, but I had considered and probably was going to go to Tennessee because Coach Mears had been coaching at Wittenberg and had followed me, and then he went down to Tennessee. So, but what really happened, and it's a really interesting story, is Coach Hall was on his way to Findlay, Ohio to watch a player, and he had to stop in Lima to get some gas. And as the conversation would go, back then you didn't pump your own gas, you had an attendant. Well, Coach was having conversation. Hey, you got any basketball players around here? I said, yeah, there's this kid that moved in from Michigan. He's averaging about 36 points a game and 22 rebounds. Coach goes, huh. I said, yeah, they're playing tonight. It's a Friday night. And he said, they're playing tonight. And so He came over to watch me play, and the rest is history. That's how I got recruited, or began to be recruited by Kentucky.
Well, when you were at Kentucky, you played 80 games, 1,320 points. But the interesting stat about you, Jim Andrews, all SEC, you shot 56% from the field. And I think you were right at about an 80% foul shooter. I mean, you knew how to score the ball.
Yeah. In fact, after I had set the record, big fella sitting there next to you, Dan Issel, had already had the scoring percentage record, and then I broke it the following year, and then broke it again my senior year. So, yeah, I like to shoot the ball. I mean, I've never been accused of playing defense too well, but liking to get the ball and to shoot it, yes.
Hey, Jim, that defense is way overrated.
Now, that's why we had guys like Mike around, right? I had Scamper, you had Mike.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Larry, because remind our listeners who some of your teammates were when you were at Kentucky.
Well, when I came in my freshman year, there were three of us from Lima, Stephen Norwood and Dan Perry. They called us the Lima Beans, or I think that's something that Mike would always call us, was the Lima Beans. And then Doug Flynn, who played with the Cincinnati Reds, yep, and was Gold Gloves, was also on that team. And so we had a pretty good freshman team, and did pretty well. Then the following year, Tom Payne came in, who was out of Louisville. And then, I played with Larry Steele and Tom Parker. And then that freshman group, what they called the Super Kittens, was in when I was a senior. They were sophomores.
Now, the game has changed, Jim. I mean, you were a perimeter guy. You were an elbow guy. You could shoot the short corner. I mean, that was all part of your game. But, Coach Rupp, Joe Hall, not going to let you float too far from the paint because they thought that's where all big guys would play. But today's game, as you watch it, do you get a kick out of that? Do you think, man, I wish I would have been part of a time in life when they played hoops like that?
Well, yes and no. I mean, we had a different set of rules. I heard part of your segment with John Hampton, and it was talking about, the post-play and how physical it is. Well, we didn't really quite have that. We pushed and we elbowed and we did that, but nothing like they do today. And so we had a different set of rules, different standards that we played with back in our day, as it's compared today. Dale, could I do that? Probably. I think, athletically, I had that ability. There were some things I would have to do that I didn't do back then, like lift weights and gain a little weight. Those are some of the major changes that I've seen. These kids are so much bigger. They're so much stronger than they were when we played.
Now, on the timeline, you would have been on Coach Rupp's last team, right? Was that your sophomore year?
Right. No, my junior year.
My junior year was okay.
Coach Wright was, as you recall, Coach Rupp, when I was being recruited, was to have retired your senior year. And because of, I think there was a war going on if they didn't play one year, and then there was a scandal where they didn't play a year. So he was given two additional years to complete his 40 years of service at the university. So I played, there was five of us, in fact, that played on with Coach Rupp's last team and then Coach Hall's first team.
Speaking of Coach Hall, you guys get together, or Joe Hall used to get with you to have lunch every couple of weeks, don't you? Larry Stamper,
yeah.
You, and
yeah.
Didn't Joe B.
We
join
did.
You?
There was a large group that did that. Of course, the pandemic kind of put an end to that, and then Coach Hall's not been in the best of health in recent months and is currently in an assisted living. But I do try to get by and see him when I can. And, he's still the same old coach. He's got the same old mind, just his body's beginning to fail him.
Now, can you see Coach Hall in person? I visited him. It's been several months now, but I had to be on the telephone through the window. Can you see him in person yet?
Absolutely. You can go in and sit in his room. I think they're allowed two or maybe three visitors at a time. But then if he's up to it, he'll be in a wheelchair, and he can come out into the dining room. You can have lunch with him. So he enjoys having visitors. I think his daughter comes by every day around 4 o'clock. He's got a cousin that's there a couple times a week. In fact, I know Larry Steele was in about 6 weeks ago to see Coach. So, you can get in and see him personally, and he loves to sit and talk about the old times.
Good. We need to do that real soon.
Absolutely. Jim, last year's season, you don't like to bring it up, it was pretty embarrassing, very hard to watch. Did you watch many of them, or did you just turn the tube off?
No, I'm a fan. I wanted to see what was going on, and I had a lot of arguments with the guys I play golf with about what the season would happen. And the big part of the one and done that Coach Cal has made a living at in Kentucky, I think what hurt him was that when the pandemic hit and it was hands off and they couldn't have any practice or one-on-one, and that's hurt him. I read yesterday where they had their first full practice yesterday. A year ago, that would not have happened, and the kids just missed that, and I think there was a lot to learning the system that they didn't have last year. So, yeah, I was watching every week to see those little things that Coach was putting in place and trying to improve them. And I saw spurts, but of course, it just never materialized over a 3 or 4 or 5 game stretch.
Jim, have you heard anything about the upcoming season? I think Kentucky's going to be a lot better this year, given the veteran players that they've added to the roster. But the SEC is loaded with all of the transfers from the portal. Have you heard anything about Rupp Arena being at 100% capacity, or how many people they're going to let watch?
I've not heard anything about Rupp. Of course, their Commonwealth, or Kroger Field, as they call it, now is been announced at 100% capacity. I can only assume that with that, those announcements, that I would think Rupp Arena would be the same thing.
You know, Ohio back in the day has been good to Kentucky. A lot of players have come south. And now Vince Morrow is up there digging around, scratching around, finding players for football. There is an attraction to the University of Kentucky for a lot of people that grow up in Ohio, Jim.
Yeah, there really is. And even back, you know, Hugh Durham, who was coaching Florida State, told me that he felt back in the 60s and all the way through that some of the athletes that came out of Ohio were some of the best that he'd seen collectively. And we talk about it all the time and how that's just been a gold mine. And I think Coach Stoops is now beginning to start discover that for football.
Jim, you like many players, after your career was over, decided to make Lexington your home. I know you were a successful businessman. Tell us about your relationship with the Kentucky fans and how special Central Kentucky and Lexington is.
You know, it's interesting, and I know that you all have experienced the same thing, but you go out and people see you and they remember you, and you know, they sometimes apologetically will approach you, but it's who we are, and it's part of the university, and I've always been very proud to support and to be a part of this school, and living here in Lexington. I've lived in Ohio and then came back here after I finished my career in the chemical business and then got into commercial insurance and was living here. And it just helped open so many doors. And the friends that I've made, that's what's important. It's like when I go out and play golf, you know, guys, you know, I'm not a great golfer. I enjoy it a great deal. But it's not about the golf. It's about the friends and the friendships that I've made the past 50 years here.
Well, this is going to be a harder question for you, Jim Andrews. Of all the games you played in college, give me your top two.
You know, I'll give you the the top one was when I was a senior, and we were trying to get to the Final Four and playing Indiana. And I think the Indiana games were always very special. But that my senior year, we had a chance to go to the Final Four. And one of the things I remember, even though we lost that game, it was the three or four or five layups that we missed going down the stretch. And I believe that if we'd made any one of them, would have put us in the Final Four against UCLA. So that particular game was very, very, very special to me. And I think the very first game that I played with Coach Hall was special, as well as the very last game I played with Coach Rupp. And the game against Michigan State, when we went up there and they were supposed to have this high-powered team, and we went in and just cleaned them. And there was a very important statement for us to get off to a good start. Now, we didn't do very well after that. We lost three or four games that we probably should not have lost. But that kind of made a statement that we knew what kind of team that we could be my senior year.
Jim Andrews, we appreciate your time, and I'm sure you're probably going to the golf course this afternoon on this lovely day. So,
amen.
If you are, hit them well, and you stay safe, and we'll catch up a little later.
All right. Good, good. Good talking to both of you.
Thanks,
thank you,
Jim.
Bye-bye.
Tell you what, he was an athletic big guy.
And could shoot.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
He shot, as you said, what, 56%?
See, that's why I brought up how he viewed today's game in that high pick and roll. Big guys are setting it. They're either fading or rolling. I mean, you know, big guys shoot the three all the time. Some shouldn't. But based on their makes
and
misses.
There's a reason you're open, son.
But he and you, too. I mean, you end up shooting from the outside as you matriculated through your pro career. But Jim, he had the range to do that.
Yeah.
And why that I say that is back then most guys were back to the basket players. Jabbar.
Especially his size.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Jim's a couple inches taller than I am,
yeah,
I think.
He's 6'11".
Yeah. Yeah. So, but he could pop. Was he a rim runner, Mike? I can't remember.
He could jump.
He could jump. Was a rim runner.
Yeah, I'm not.
You can be a guy that jump and not be a rim runner.
Well, yeah. That's true. That's why. But he was very athletic for a man 6'11".
Yeah,
he could run and jump.
Isn't that an amazing story? If they had self service gas stations back then, he would have been at Tennessee.
I love
stories like that.
Yeah.
I love it. Guy says, yeah, we got a pretty good guy here. He's averaging 36 points and 22 rebounds a game.
And Truman Clater played right up the road at Toledo from Lima. Truman Clater after Jim. And who else? I was thinking the other day that we had a long stretch there with Bobby McCowan played with us. And there was somebody else, though, that I can't remember who it was. I was thinking about it. But Ohio's been good to Kentucky basketball. Kevin Greavy.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I wonder who the kid was from Findlay, Ohio, because I went up to Findlay one time with Coach Hall and Mondo Angelusi. We would have been about that time. And I can't remember the kid's name, but I remember. He was up there. Coach Hall was up there recruiting from Findlay, Ohio at that point.
Yeah, a lot of it's a numbers game. You know, I mean, there's just a lot of people.
Yeah.
And basketball is a big deal. I mean, it's everybody wants to say it's a football state. And a lot of real quality basketball, as in Illinois.
Yeah.
So
yeah, for sure.
All right, Crane, we're up against a break, and we'll come back and talk a little pro basketball last night. These series are getting interesting.
Yeah, we got ahead of ourselves yesterday. We said they were all 2-2, or I said they were all 2-2, but now...
Well, you were just predicting the future.
Exactly, but now they are all 2-2, and the biggest thing in the playoffs today is not who can play. It's who can't play. A bunch of injuries that are, I think, going to affect a couple of these series.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, it's already. I mean, you could build a case that Brooklyn would be and that could have eliminated without Milwaukee 2-0. Yeah. You take Harden away, and now you take Irving away. You could have easily eliminated Milwaukee.
Milwaukee's favored tonight. They're favored in that game.
And that's odd. The Nets are still favored to win the championship. Did you see that in some
Vegas? Somebody's anticipating that one or both of those guys are going to come back before the series is over. But Irving and Harden both out tonight. If Oladipo scores 26 points in the paint like he did last game, then
you mean Antetokounmpo?
Oh, no, I said the wrong name.
Yeah, you said Oladipo.
Giannis.
I'll tell you what, he's finally figured it out. He can't shoot the three consistently or at all. Yeah. And he's now driving the ball. And, again, that poor kid from Georgia that's there, he has got no chance when that big guy comes bullying his way down there. Man. All right, Crane, you take it away.
Chicken fried and cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and the radio. Oh, oh, oh.
Keep it locked with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Dan and Mike. Well, I was raised
up and need to share. And welcome back to Sports Talk with Mike Pratt and Dan Issel, brought to you by Stockton Mortgage. Mike, what would you have in your dream home? The financing might not be as glamorous as a butler's pantry, but it can leave you set up for success or leave you frustrated. The folks at Stockton Mortgage can craft a mortgage that is exactly the right fit for you. Your dream home is just a mortgage away. Go to Stockton.com. What they say at Stockton is true. Find your home, and they'll take care of the rest. NMLS 8259, equal housing lender.
Man, you have got that down pat. I mean, you smooth city, that one. Smooth city. Well, let's talk a little pro basketball. Last night, the paper clips in the Suns. I'm beginning to think now, due to injuries.
Not Suns, Jazz.
Jazz, I'm sorry. I'm beginning to think that somebody's going to win that Western side and win it all because of injuries.
If they keep going like they're going, I mean, if the Nets can't get Harden back or Irving back for any extended period of time, and you have to wonder about Embiid. He was awful. I mean, God bless him.
0 for 12 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. I mean, God bless him for trying. He's got a torn meniscus, but he was awful. I wanted to see if you saw this stat. You talk about passing out assists like candy all the time. Last night for the Atlanta Hawks, Trae Young had 18 assists. You know how many baskets?
Made baskets.
You know how many made baskets the rest of his team had?
No.
29.
Really?
So he assisted on two-thirds of the shots made in that game. That's impossible, isn't it?
Does that say more on how assists are judged or just how ball dominant Trae Young is?
No, I'll tell you what.
Yes. The answer to your question, Jack, is yes. I mean, but to think that his pass led to two-thirds of the baskets means that he is the ultimate ball stopper, but he shares the ball, but he doesn't pass to somebody else who then passes to somebody else? That doesn't happen?
I think watching that game, I can believe that because that everything they do is off of him trying to beat his guy one-on-one or pick and roll, and it's one pass and a shot.
Well, that's the whole essence of the NBA game.
Yeah, that's what the NBA is. I mean, Utah does it with Donovan Mitchell. The Suns do it with Chris Paul and Booker. The Bucks do it with Giannis and Drew Holiday. And the Nets do it with Harden when he's healthy or Kyrie. or Durant. And if you have more of those guys, you have a better chance of winning.
But what has to be disheartening to the 76ers is I don't think Seth Curry and
Matador.
Well, but I mean, he shot the ball great.
Oh,
but
yeah.
He can't guard anybody.
Right.
And Tobias Harris, he shot the ball extremely well. And you know, they still lose the game. So,
well, they lost the game. You're so right on analytical, but they lost the game. I think Embiid 0-for-12 in the fourth quarter.
Right.
They got a last second shot for him at the rim, and he missed it.
Yeah. And okay. And he said after the game, he said under normal circumstances, I would have dunked that ball and gotten fouled, and we would have at least tied the game. But no, when you got a big guy that can't jump, that's
and he's your best player
by far.
Yeah,
by far your best player.
Young is a fun little guy to watch. Now, let me clarify this for Mr. Crean, Mr. Jack Grossman, A.K.A. Crean. Ball stoppers can be bad. Ball stoppers can be good. And Dan just made the point about what Young did. He's ball dominant. He's a ball stopper, but after he stops the ball, makes his play. He can make a play,
yeah,
and he can find the open guy. The bad, the not bad, but the ones that you don't really want to be a teammate of, ball stoppers, are ones that stop the ball, try to make a play, can't do it, miss the shot, turn the ball over, or don't find you.
Like Carmelo Anthony jabs up from the elbow for 15 seconds.
That's him.
That's the one.
That's in the, you look up ball stopper in the dictionary, they got a picture of Carmelo Anthony. He's the ultimate. Although I have to say he changed a little bit this year after, you know, he's made all the money in the world and he realizes the only thing missing on his resume is a successful playoff run. He did change a little bit this year.
But boy, that Young, he can take care of people. That is for sure. But on the other side, I mean, Philly's got to get somebody else. I mean, Harris is Seth Curry's got to start knocking down shots, right?
Yeah, he shot the ball well last night.
Shake Milton, he's got to make some shots.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Well, if Embiid can't play any better than he did in the second half last night, they better find a lot of help and in a hurry because that's a big hole to fill. And he looked awful in the second half last night.
And my man, the rim runner, Capella, he was tough, man. He was tough. He can't stay with Embiid, a healthy Embiid. But last night, he took advantage. He smelled blood in the water.
When he's guarding a guy that's playing on one leg, he's pretty good defensively.
That's blood in the water.
Yeah.
Well, how about the Clippers? Man, they can't win on the road, but they can't lose at home, right?
Yeah. Well, which was in the flip-flop of the first series with Dallas. Against Dallas, nobody could win at home until the seventh game. But, you know, there's another game, although he's playing terrifically, is Donovan Mitchell. But he's another guy that's slowed down a little bit by an injury. And let's not forget, this entire series, they've been without Conley because of injury. But the Jazz are up against it if Kawhi and George keep playing like they're playing. Did you see that dunk?
A couple.
Oh my goodness.
I thought you meant George. He dunked a couple.
Wow. Yeah, George had a couple good ones, but Kawhi had the one.
It was unbelievable. And I've said this before. I love the kid. I mean, he doesn't stare at the camera or pump his chest.
Yep.
He just turns around and goes down to the other end and says, I'm going to stop you down here now. So I've got my list going. I've got Chris Paul's at the top, people I would pay to watch. Chris Paul's at the top. I might have to add Kawhi and Nikola to that list. But
that's three good ones.
Yeah.
That's three good ones.
Kawhi is special.
Who's on the opposite end of the list of guys you would never pay to see? Or guys that you could not be paid to see.
There's a bunch of those.
I don't want to single anybody out, but there are some teams
that I wouldn't care to pay money to see. Most of them are in the Eastern Conference, but there's not too many teams in the Eastern Conference that excite me.
PG, Paul George, and Leonard, 62 of the 110 mm-hmm. points.
31 each.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
You talk about carrying somebody. Yeah. They're carrying.
And the fifth game is always when a series is tied, as all three of these are now, 2-2, the fifth game is so, so important. And so the next game, and especially tonight with the Nets and being so shorthanded, they lose that game tonight, and I think they're in trouble. Depending on if either one of those two guys come back, maybe they both are back for game number six, which then they'd be in good shape. But any team that loses that fifth game when it's 2-2 tied, really behind the eight ball.
But I would think Harden might come back. Just guessing, might come back. That ankle sprain with Irving,
that was nasty.
Man, that was ugly. He rolled that ankle over. I think Harden might come back.
Well, they certainly need him to. I agree with you. Not only did that ankle sprain look awful, but Irving doesn't exactly have the reputation of coming back quick from injuries anyway.
Really?
He takes 3 weeks off with a hangnail, so I don't know if we'll see him at all.
Well, you know, he thinks the world's flat, so. Well, how about the, we talked about the coaching jobs that are open. Mike D'Antoni, rumored to be at Portland or maybe the Pacers, your favorite team. Terry Stotts, maybe the Pacers. Stotts a good coach. How about Nate McMillan? Now, here's the deal with Nate McMillan. You'll find this interesting. He's the interim coach, so he's not locked up anything besides this year.
He doesn't have a contract after this year.
And supposedly he is on the short list for Brad Stevens at Boston. Hmm. So as good a job as he's done since taking over, I would think, Crane, would you agree they better sign him and sign him quick?
Bidding war.
Might be, yeah.
Which job do you think you would rather have at this point between Atlanta or Boston? Because Atlanta has Trae Young. They have a really nice young core. There's not as much pressure as there is in Boston to win big. Yeah, I mean, Boston has, Tatum and Jaylen Brown to build around also, but I think the Hawks might be a better team, might be a more complete team, and have less of a pressurized pressure cooker of a job than what Boston is.
Except for one thing. Look at what Boston Celtics pay their coaches, and look what Atlanta pays their coaches.
That's fair.
Big
That's
difference
fair.
I have.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Well, Atlanta's got the better team. They've got the better talent, let's put it in depth-wise, I think, than Boston. I mean, Boston got two guys. Kemba Walker's a hell of a player, but he's 35 years old.
He can't stay healthy.
Yeah.
And he can't stay healthy because he's, but they've got two young players, that they played, and not only has the team played them, but they've played very well. And you might have a lot of guys you think are good, but when they're given a chance – they average 2 points a game or 3 points a game.
Exactly.
And they're backups, they're non-rotation players. But in their front rotation, they've got three, and one of them's 35.
Yeah. I think I'd take I think I'd take the Atlanta.
I agree.
Atlanta job.
I agree.
You talked about people being interviewed. Did you see that Portland is going to, and I think this is terrific. I hope she gets the job. But Portland is going to interview Becky Hammons.
I saw that.
Yeah.
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah,
San Antonio.
Has been an assistant coach. She started out behind the bench. One of those 18 guys they have behind the bench, and then was moved up to one of the three assistants that actually get to sit next to Pop, they're going to now, it might be just for show, but I think it'd be terrific if she got that job.
I do, too. And she's I wonder whether she would get that job if Pop retires, which he probably will in the next year or so. Maybe she says, I'll stay and get the job. They promised me the job Pop has.
Right.
I'm not going to move to Portland. Right. Interesting.
Yeah. No. And the other name that I saw mentioned with the Portland job was Chauncey Billups.
Yep.
Who, you know, was a heck of a player after his sixth stop in the league. Remember, Chauncey was with Boston, was with the Nuggets, was with Orlando, maybe, then Milwaukee, and was less than average all of those places. Gets to Detroit, the light bulb goes on.
They win a championship.
And they win a championship, and he's most valuable player in the playoffs. So, but has no coaching experience, which I wouldn't hold that against him. But he's also a name that I saw rumored to be in line for the Portland job.
I thought the Clippers did a nice thing last thing I'm going to say about those games last night. They went and played small ball. They went small, and it pulled Gobert out, mm-hmm. who's, you know, top defensive player in the league. They made him go out on the floor, which a difficult guard with smaller people. Plus, that took him away from being a rim goalie. I thought that going small like that really was big.
And Mike, not only did they take him out of the, did that take him out of the his defensive comfort zone, he didn't show up offensively either. I mean, he didn't. I think he had six shots, something like that. But you're absolutely right. I mean, that's a great adjustment, because he was, the two games in Utah, he was dominant defensively, keeping those guys, Kawhi and George,
locked the shot to win the game.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But that's a great adjustment by Ty Lue to do that and take the defensive player of the year in the NBA out of the defensive scheme. It was terrific coaching.
I sent you an article out of The Athletic, a publication I take. I would recommend to anybody who likes sports to take it. It's $50 or $60 a year. You get it online. Really terrific. Kyle Tucker, who's been with us as a writer, Dana right. O'Neill, college writer. But we were, and I sent this to you because you're a fan of Mark Cuban.
We started down this road earlier in the show, and we went someplace.
I had to come back, though, because he's your guy.
You see, I'm an actual fan of Mark Cuban. So, but that's only because he went to IU.
Yeah, right. But I guess, Cream, did you see this article? If you haven't, I will send it to you.
Yes.
Where he hired the gambler?
Yep.
He brings the gambler in a couple of years ago. He's a professional gambler. So analytically, that's how he makes his bets. And he got to know Cuban, and Cuban brings him into the team, gives him a position, people in the organization, to include Rick Carlisle, the coach, and the players. Think the guy is like the president of the team. You know, he's making decisions. And I guess that he made some decisions in last year's draft. He picked out two guys that told him, draft these guys on draft day. Called in to the room.
The war room?
War room, and said, draft these guys. I'd never heard of either one of them. I don't know where he got that. But you read that article or something, huh?
Yeah, and he really, evidently, he made some kind of gesture to Luka Doncic during the game, and Luka didn't much care for it, and proceeded to tell him that he didn't much care for it. So it's I don't know. That's got to be a circus.
A rich man's toy, Dan.
Yeah, exactly. And it's got to be a circus down there because, you know, he talking about Cuban, he's in the locker room. He sits at the end of the bench. He's on all – not all, but he flies on the team plane to a lot of the away games. I mean, Adam Silver has to wake up every morning and say, oh, what has Cuban done to us today? But it's entertaining stuff. But I can't imagine the NBA is too thrilled that Dallas has a professional gambler.
What's that all about?
On the payroll.
Yeah.
You think he quit gambling just because Cuban hired him?
And he's
sitting courtside with his laptop. Strange.
Tell you how bright he is. He gets up in front of everybody and leaves a game with a minute to go or 2 minutes, whatever. Just gets up and walks out. And yeah, I guess that the players talked about it. Some of the players, whoever it was, saw him leave. You know, Luca saw him. Okay, so if you're a high up or an owner, you might need to stick around a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. That's like what was that game that LeBron left
With
5 minutes to go. Yeah, I've seen enough of this. I'm going to the locker room.
Rick Carlisle, I told you last week, I thought that, you know, he, from what I've read and just listening, talking, that he might be in danger. He's coached there 10 years, Dan. 10 years in Dallas.
That's a long time. And that's a long time to coach anywhere anymore with the scrutiny and everything that happens with professional sports. But it's also got to be very difficult to have the owner right there underneath every time you turn around. I mean, it's, and like we've said before, that he's got these guys making the draft picks. And so, you know, Rick doesn't have much of a chance there.
But so. 10 years, if he averaged, let's say, $2.5 million a year, just on average, would that be fair?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Maybe more, but that's $25 million
right.
That we know of. That doesn't include any benefits. I'm just talking about salary. I don't know if you got any TV, radio, car, country club. Who knows?
Yeah.
But that's just money into $25 million.
Yeah. You don't have to coach that long anymore if you're making that kind of money.
If I was him, unless I had to, I mean, he's hireable anywhere in the NBA.
Yeah. Very well respected. He's president.
Right now, he's on a 5-year, $35 million deal.
Oh, so you were way under. You were way under.
I think I would, in that situation, from what I read, I think I would try to force them to fire me and somebody else would hire me. Because he's got an agent that's working the backside network throughout the NBA,
yeah,
I'm sure.
Yeah, and what I was getting ready to say before Crean interrupted me was that he's a very well-respected president of the NBA Coaches Association. So, he wouldn't have trouble finding another spot.
Did you see college baseball yesterday afternoon?
Yeah, broke my heart when that kid from Virginia hit the Grand Slam home run. And it looked like Dallas Baptist had it set up. They brought the relief pitcher in. They're ahead 2-1. They bought the relief pitcher in, guy on first and second, but two outs. And Virginia's got two left-handed batters coming up. And so it looked like, that's in the seventh inning, I think.
I think you're right.
And it looked like they had it set up, and the first guy hits a ground ball that is so far out in the outfield. The second baseman fielded it, but he had no shot to throw him out. Now bases are loaded. Another left-hander comes up, and I think that he got two bad-looking strikes on him, and it looked like they were out of it. And then the kid hits one over the center field wall. So Virginia and North Carolina State, two ACC schools going to the college.
That's great. That's right.
And three, because Mississippi State beat the Golden Domers last night, three SEC schools going to Omaha. So, it's fun to watch.
Did you see the center fielder I think he was Virginia, robbed that kid of a home run, got up and got his glove right up there. I mean, that was a big league spectacular
yes,
play.
Yes, it was. And there have been a number of really good defensive plays in this College World Series.
But I watched the nightcap, the Notre Dame and Mississippi State. And that crowd's unbelievable
for a
baseball
game. And
unbelievable.
Mississippi State scores six runs, I think, in the second inning, takes a big lead, and then just barely holds off Notre Dame. But, a college baseball stadium that holds 15,000 people, I can't imagine there's too many like that, are there?
I wouldn't think so. I would think they probably are the biggest, probably draw the best. I mean, there's other teams in that league that draw well. But number 12. I think he's the first baseman for the Golden Domers. Mm-hmm. He comes up, and those boys are down 11-5, I think it was, or something like that. And he hits a two-run home run. Big fella. I mean, he's a big –
he looks like a Sunday afternoon softball player.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking. Or a wrestler.
He can play for the station softball team.
There you go. Or he might be a wrestler, you know, WWE guy. But he hammered that ball. That ball went out over it went out the right field fence. He's a left-hand batter. Yeah. It goes over the stands in right field.
All the way out of the stands.
Out of the way out.
Yeah.
Oh, big fella. Come on now. I mean, he was so happy, too. Notre Dame's got a nice ball club, and it's surprising. I didn't know they were that good in baseball.
Yeah, and doing a really nice job as in their recruiting too. I think I've told this story before. One of my grandson's teammates on High School baseball, Radek Burkholz, is going to Notre Dame next year. So and he's a heck of a player. He can throw the ball. Throw the ball 95 miles an hour, but he's also a great fielder. They played last night, and Radek was 3-for-4 and had 3 or 4 RBIs. So.
They still alive?
Oh yeah, they won. They mercy ruled. Cherry Creek is the huge high school in Denver, and always dominant as far as sports are concerned. And they mercy ruled them 10-0 in 5 innings last night. So now they go on. They play Friday. They play the number one ranked high school team in the state, Chatfield, and Benjamin Whipple will be on the mound. So I'm already getting nervous for him. But I think now that they've got to the Final Eight, I think it's double elimination now in the state tournament.
Well, we'll be back tomorrow, but I do have to mention, in case my daughter is listening, it's her birthday today. Dan, you've known her since she's been a little pup, and so I'm going to have to shout out a happy birthday to Tamron down in Charlotte.
She goes by Tamron now instead of Tammy?
Yeah, she was Tammy.
She was Tammy.
She's in business. You know, she's a big wig in business. You know, she goes by Tammy.
Happy birthday, Tammy.
All right, this is Stockton Mortgage Sports Talk. Dan Issel, Mike Pratt.
See you tomorrow, everybody.
Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker. Earn $14.50 plus up to $425 in weekly bonuses depending on shift. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Exmark makes the mowers that care for the lawns that set the stage for the backyard life. As the commercial mowers more landscape pros trust, Exmark mowers get you on and off the lawn without compromising cut quality, comfort, or reliability. Exmark, official mowers of the backyard life, starting at $29.99. Learn about the available finance offers and check them out today at The Mower Shop, 7400 Preston Highway, Louisville, Kentucky, 502-969-6433.
CarMax is hiring experienced auto technicians for many of its 200-plus stores nationwide. If you're looking for a job where you can make a great living while working on the cars that you love, then CarMax is the place for you. Join CarMax to grow your technical expertise and work with state-of-the-art tools and technology. Work with the cars you love. Join CarMax. Apply today at CarMaxAutoTech.com.